Good afternoon and welcome to Citizens September 26, 2023 Audit Committee meeting that is publicly noticed in the Florida Administrative Register to convene at 1 and will be recorded with transcribed minutes available on our website. For those attending today's session through the public link, you are automatically in listen-only mode with presentations appearing in the webinar. Chair Baruff, we have no speaker requests for today. May I proceed with official roll call?
Please.
Board Chair Baruff?
Here.
Governor Thomas?
Here.
Chairman, you have a quorum.
Thank you. Chair, entertain a motion to approve the minutes.
So moved.
Okay.
And I'll second it.
There you go. Minutes are done. Mr. Martin, it's up to you. Is there anything on fire? That's always my favorite question. Do we have anything to concern ourselves about?
Nothing on fire, sir.
Nothing's on fire.
Concern.
No. Everything's smooth.
Everything is smooth.
How's your audits going? Pretty well?
Pretty well. I'll give you a short summary of what we've done.
Perfect. Thank you.
Thank you. Good afternoon. I refer you to tab 2 at the back where we have a summary, and then behind that we have copies of the report as well. When you look at the slide in front of you, since the July meeting, we've completed six engagements, of which 4 were audits. On the left-hand top-hand side of the slide, I present a graph indicating that we have completed a total of 12 engagements since March and currently are working through 11 engagements. In the column to the right, we list 4 audits completed. We started with a claims legal billing audit where we focused on processes, methodology, and results of the claims legal billing unit's assessment and processing of submitted legal invoices. We noted 3 areas requiring review and enhancement, namely the unit controls for identifying duplicate payments, monitoring defense counsel timekeepers who are billing for more than reasonable accepted hours, and practices associated with invoice processing. Intel Audit collaborated with the business unit to help develop short and long-term suggested actions, which include recovery of duplicate payments, development of monitoring practices, design mechanisms to identify and address timekeeper excesses timely, expansion of automatic script structure with additional controls, and implementation of quality control practices. With the emergency procurement audit, we evaluated the adequacy of procedures applied, and results from the audit indicated optimal practices in procurement practices in place. The third-party technology risk audit focused on how Citizens monitoring vendor performance, assess vendor dependency resilience, service organizational controls, continued vendor suitability reviews, and information security. And again, that results from those audits indicated adequate processes and controls are in place around third-party technology risk. And the underwriting vendor management audit evaluated management outsourced vendor processes, and results from that audit indicated adequate controls in place as well. We have 11 engagements in progress, including 4 audits. Those 4 audits include the Centerpoint segregation of duty audit, where we will focus on user access provisioning and identity automation solutions to monitor the segregation of duty conflicts. In the IT service management audit, the audit will focus on the identification of risks related to controls to minimize the impact of performance deviations from the management service provider, and purchasing and other expense reimbursement audit. This will be a targeted audit that will focus on monitoring procedure of P-card expenses. And the last audit will be vendor invoicing and payment. We will audit vendor payment practices to ensure payments are only made to vendors who were completed. And that's the audit that was the audit committee requested during the last meeting. 3 audits are planned for completion in Q1 2024. These include the compliance program audit, investment portfolio management audit, and mobile computing remote audit. The auditor general commenced with their review, and it's their tri-annual operational audit in September, and that runs for approximately a year long. In the bottom left-hand of the slide, we show a graph that indicates we are currently tracking 10 open observations relating back to 6 audits. 2 of these observations are rated high, and all observations are being managed well within the organization. Next slide, please. Next slide, please, Bonnie. Thank you. The Enterprise Risk Team manages who partners with the business areas to deliver forward-looking and insightful risk perspectives that enhance citizens' decision-making processes and strategic performance. Our risk profile reflects a comprehensive view of risk and various perspectives, including strategic, operational, project, and emerging risks. We follow a dynamic risk governance approach that provides business units throughout the organization the ability to reassess their risk profile quarterly and add, delete, and revise risks as processes and the environment changes. Next slide, please. The internal control team is responsible for maintaining and monitoring the citizens' internal control framework. As of August, citizens has identified and recorded 95 primary controls. Annually, every business area performs annual control self-assessments to ensure that citizens' primary controls are appropriately designed and continue to operate effectively. To date, 17 annual control self-assessments have been completed. The administrative system used by the Office of Internal Audit, Audit Board, is also nowadays used by the Ethics and Compliance Office. And this system allows for the ability to connect results from work completed by internal audit, enterprise risk, internal control into a consolidated view. Internal control is currently collaborating with ethics and compliance to connect citizens' primary controls and control self-assessments to applicable laws, regulations, and rules, and corporate policies within the audit board to further visualize assurance activity throughout the organization. And that completes my report. There are no questions, sir.
Any questions?
No problem.
Thank you, Mr. Martins. Ms. Montero, you're next. Hello.
If you'll turn behind tab 3 of your board books or committee books, you'll find the first half 2023 results and of operations and financial position, followed by the document that provides the commentary, which is what I'll go through. So at June 30th, 2023, consolidated cash and invested assets totaled $10.2 billion, or approximately $1.2 billion more than at December 31st, 2022, driven by net cash inflows from operations of approximately the same amount. Consolidated surplus at June 30th was $4.9 billion, reflecting an increase of approximately $600 million in comparison to December 31st, 2022. The increase in surplus was driven by net income from the first half of 2023, roughly the same amount. Consolidated direct written premium for the first half of the year was $2.7 billion, which is $1.2 billion or 78% more premium than was written during the same period in 22. Although the number of new policies written during the first half of 23 decreased to 339,000 in comparison to the 347,000 new policies written during the first half of 2022, the overall renewal rate of 85% reflects an increase of 6 percentage points relative to the renewal rate through the first half of 2022. Premiums ceded to private reinsurance and for coverage through the CAT fund for the 2023 storm season were $1.126 billion, which is approximately $586 million more than in 2022, driven by significant increase in reinsured exposure as well as increases in underlying pricing. At June 30th, 2023, no adjustments were made to ultimate losses or LAE for CAT events. Gross and net ultimate losses and LAE associated with CAT events were as follows. Hurricane Ian is $3.6 billion gross and $2.6 net. Hurricane Irma is $2.6 billion gross and $1.4 billion net. Tropical Storm Sally and Ada are $305 million with no reinsurance recoveries. Hurricane Michael is $148 million with no reinsurance recoveries, and Hurricane Nicole is $96 million gross and $82 million net. The 2023 non-catastrophe loss and LA ratio for the PLA and coastal account are comparatively unchanged relative to 2022. The dominant driver behind the improvement in loss in LAE over the past several years has been the improvement in litigation rates, which continues to be the single most important factor in non-catastrophe loss in LAE, and which have remained stable for non-catastrophe losses in 2022 and into 2023. The underlying commercial lines account loss and LAE ratio is inherently volatile due to the low premium volume and the large potential impact of a few claims. Administrative expenses incurred during the first half of 2023 were $85 million, or $13 million more than during the first half of 2022, and $12 million less than budgeted. Citizens' expense ratio for the period ending June 30th was 13.8%, marking a 0.9% decrease from the same period a year prior, and 0.2% less than budgeted. Total investment income was $127 million, which was approximately $33 million or 35% more than the same period a year prior, while the average invested assets decreased $73 million. The increase in overall earned income was driven by the overall increases in interest rates, specifically yields in money market funds and reinvestments of maturing or sold maturities. At June 30th, the total unrealized losses were $796 million, or $67 million more than at March 31st, reflecting continued volatility in overall interest rates. And as a note, at August 31st, 23, total unrealized losses grew to $809 million, or $13 million more than June 30th. And I'm happy to answer any questions, but that concludes my report.
Questions? Thank you, Ms. Montero.
Thank you.
Concludes the meeting, I think.